Land.org. Paid for by
Women Breaking Barriers, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Grammy award-winning singer Mary J. Blige discusses why she created the Strength of a Woman Festival and Summit.
Celebrate women the way they celebrate me, because so I was like, okay, well, I want to do something for them. Yeah. And this is the way I'm doing it for them, by celebrating them on the most important day for women, and that's Mother's Day.
Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs, like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors, and more. Plus, curate your dream setup with great deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to leading-edge technology and free shipping on everything. Again, that's Dell.com/deals.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments that could determine how much power the government has to regulate online content. Justice Samuel Alito questioning Deputy Solicitor General Brian Fletcher about language the Biden administration used in emails to social media platforms about COVID vaccines.
Do you think that the print media regards themselves as being on the same team as the federal government, partners with the federal government?
So potentially in the context of an effort to get Americans vaccinated during a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic.
Lower courts have ruled with Republican-led states, which accused the White House of censoring conservative viewpoints. President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke today for the first time in more than a month. The president signed an executive order today to advance the study of women's health. Stocks are higher so far. This is ABC News. The Department of Homeland Security says AI could help fight drug networks.
Artificial intelligence models like Gemini from Google are capable of scanning through and summarizing vast stores of information. That's what DHS says its new pilot program is designed to do, intended to help investigators summarize and search for information within lengthy investigative reports. The department says it could lead to, among other things, more fentanyl seizures, but the technology has drawn criticism for occasionally producing false or misleading information. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Two U.S. studies find severe problems from so-called Havana syndrome, but no evidence of brain injury detectable by MRIs. Researchers do find unmistakable symptoms like headaches, dizziness, and cognitive issues, and an accompanying editorial says studies don't rule out the possibility that people may have been injured or attacked. Scientists at the National Institutes of Health conducted the research. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
People who come to Cricket stay with Cricket, just like our customer, Jaren.
I'm the singer and guitarist in a band, and I use my Cricket phone for everything. It's basically like another band member.
Don't miss a single beat. Switch today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Real customer paid for testimonial. Must bring your number to Cricket on up to a $60 a month voice plan, depending on device. Select models only while supplies last. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Cricket 5G requires compatible device and is not available everywhere. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Marcus is a connoisseur of anything that's free, so he was happy to read the disclaimer on TurboTax Free Edition.
Roughly 37% of taxpayers qualify. Form 1040 and limited credits only. See how at TurboTax.com. That's me!
File your taxes 100% free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your max refund guaranteed. See if you qualify to file for free at TurboTax.com. See max refund guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. The adults in the missing persons case of 3-year-old Elijah Vu will have separate court hearings this week.
31-year-old Katrina Bauer waived her right to a preliminary hearing during her court date at the Manitowoc County Courthouse. Her lawyer also said she decided to withdraw a motion to dismiss her first charge of chronic child neglect. 39-year-old Jesse Vang, who was the last person to see Elijah before he went missing, had his court hearings delayed again because he isn't represented by a lawyer. He requested his right to a speedy trial and a lawyer, to which Judge Robert DeWayne said the court system's working on getting him a lawyer and his speedy trial rights need to be written out. Elijah has now been missing for almost a month after being reported missing on February 20th. A vigil is held this weekend for the missing 3-year-old. Stephen Devine, Wisconsin Radio Network.
One person is dead, another injured in a UTV crash in Monroe County.
Deputies say the crash happened early Sunday morning in the town of Wells. The driver of the UTV was on city streets when the vehicle overturned, ejecting a female passenger. Rescue crews were unable to revive her. The male driver was taken to the hospital for treatment. Deputies say alcohol was likely a factor in the crash. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A bill allowing early processing of absentee balloting was one of many that failed to pass the state Senate this session. The measure would have primarily benefited Milwaukee, Governor Tony Evers.
A lot of the false claims that happen around this could be solved and taken care of. It's ridiculous.
The bill passed the Assembly with bipartisan support. Majority Leader Devin Lemahue is a Senate co-sponsor. But on WISN-TV's Upfront, he said Milwaukee will need to try harder.
Other cities that use central count like Milwaukee does, they hire enough employees to get their ballots counted on time.
The Senate adjourned last week without voting on more than 100 bills the Assembly passed. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Some calmer winds today under a mix of sun and clouds and still holding below average temperatures. As highs today hit the upper 30s. After sunset, winds start to crank up once again, but this time pulling out of the south, giving us a warmer day for tomorrow. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
For the conversation about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America, I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's AOA brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality, premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit Cenex.com for more information. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Darren Newsom from Bar Chart. We'll look at weather with DTN's John Baranek in segment two. There is some chatter that we could see a fairly sizable storm system later this week and into the weekend. Maybe some heavy snow across the Northern Plains and Upper Midwest. We're going to talk about that, I'm sure, with John coming up here in segment two. We're going to keep the DTN theme going a little bit as well. After the bottom of the hour, Katie Dellinger with DTN is going to join us to talk about the farmland market and farmland at auctions and things like that. She's written a story on that that you could find on the DTN website. And so we're going to talk to Katie and get some thoughts on that story from her and more coming up after the bottom of the hour today. And we'll take a look at news headlines as well at the end of the show, including some more funding for USDA's ASEP. We're going to hear comments with USDA Undersecretary Robert Bonney and more coming up in news headlines. Well, let's take a look at what's going on in the markets. Joining us now, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, great to have you back on the show as we look at kind of a mixed bag to start the week, a little bit of green in wheat early to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but then it kind of faded there just a little bit as we've gotten into the session. But overall, I guess kind of a quiet, somewhat quiet start to the week, Darren.
It is a quiet start. And, you know, as you mentioned, there's a couple big weather events going on. I'm really interested to hear what John has to say and also Katie's segment. That's going to be fascinating. Both of them are top notch. But as far as weather goes, you know, these markets are weather derivatives. We're in the meteorological spring season. The official spring season, I think, starts, what, tomorrow, Tuesday morning or something like that. And there is, you know, this morning we saw freezing temperatures fall as far south as far southern plains. So You know, whether or not it did any damage to the wheat market, the hard red winter market, I don't know. Usually it doesn't. But sometimes the market likes to get a little bit excited about those things. It seemed like there was a little bit of buying overnight. It was low volume. But if we look at the new crop July KC, new crop July Chicago contracts, there was a little bit of support out there. So we'll see how long it lasts. We'll see if anything materializes. As I said, the commercial side is not really taking much account of it at this point. Then you've got the snow. As you mentioned, and, you know, it's been a point of debate, you know, how much snow is there going to be? How far south is it going to go? You know, what might it mean for spring planting later on? What's it going to do for moisture? Is it going to start to raise some of those soil moisture levels that have been struggling over the last number of years? So, you know, a lot of interest in what's going to happen this week weather-wise. And I think that's, you know, really that's what the markets are paying attention to right now. They're just kind of on hold, waiting to see what develops.
Yeah, I know as well on that wheat side, there is a talk of Russian drones hitting Ukraine grain infrastructure over the weekend, Darren. But I would largely say and argue that this wheat market's become pretty desensitized to anything going on in the Black Sea right now.
Absolutely. That's been going on for over 2 years now. We know that Russia is not only dumping its grain, but whatever it's stolen from Ukraine, it's dumping it on the market to its friends at a low price. We could see the ramifications of that on our export market year to year. We just keep losing demand. There's always chatter about what's going on in the Black Sea, but let's face it, it's an ongoing war. And these things happen in war. Things get bombed. Things happen. It's a horrible situation, and it's not going to get better anytime soon. And you're right. The wheat market has been desensitized. You can raise wheat anywhere around the world, and that Russian-Ukraine grain is still making its way onto the market at a discounted price. And so there's nothing bullish about it outside of the knee-jerk reaction to headlines.
Darren, how about the managed money, the funds, the latest CFTC data? Looked like there was maybe some short covering last week, but still, I mean, it feels like these funds are holding pretty record large positions. Any notes there for us?
Yeah, the one that really jumped out at me was soybeans. You know, they've just moved off of a record large net short futures position and a record large short futures position. And they covered 16,000, just over 16,800 contracts last week. At the same time, the May contract closed 47 cents higher from Tuesday to Tuesday. So, you know, that's 47 cents on not even 17,000 contracts being covered. And so that was interesting. All the while, there was some commercial pressure building in the market. So it got an interesting contrast there. And since last Tuesday, at least as of early this morning, May was lower again from last Tuesday's close. So what is this telling us? Have the commercials taken over the market? Have non-commercials kind of moved to the sidelines for now? There's a lot of things going on, and it was a very interesting set of numbers that came out last Friday afternoon.
I want to ask you as well, make sure we get to this, outside markets and things you're watching there. I know we have a Fed meeting this week, and largely I think a lot of folks are probably going to be, you know, parsing through the comments from Fed Chair Jerome Powell, not necessarily expecting any big news. Your thoughts on that and some of this outside market movement here, Darren?
You're absolutely right. It's all going to be in the comments, and not only Chairman Powell's initial statements after, because they're not going to do anything with interest rates. They're not going to cut them. They're not going to raise them. They're just going to stay flat. So it is going to be what he says afterwards. And then, what, a couple of weeks down the road, when the minutes of this month's reports are released, that's where the interest is going to be. There's a lot of talk about when will the initial rate cut come. If we look at the Fed fund futures spreads right now, it looks like it could be the June meeting. But these things change. You know, these things could change with geopolitics, with you know, the U.S. situation, with inflation numbers and all of this going on. We could see those spreads change. But right now, that's what the target is. And so that's, I think, is really what we're, you know, much of the interest is this week. You know, there's so much talk about, you know, this is going to be the key test for U.S. stock indexes. Wrong. It's not. You know, the U.S. dollar index, the commodities tied to that, they've already priced in the idea that there's not going to be a rate cut. But it is going to be in the language. That's what's going to get traders' interest going forward.
On that note, too, Darren, I'm going to throw two words at you. Dot plot. Do you pay any attention to that?
Dot plot?
Yeah, the dot plot that comes out with the Fed, usually they release. Yeah, with all their different, where everyone's at, that dot plot. I know a lot of people like to talk about that. Is that really of importance, though?
It is to those who find it interesting. Myself, I would rather look at the Fed fund future spreads because I'm just much more attuned to looking at spreads and reading those. This is the dot plots tell us the probability of this happening and that happening, when and where. There is probably some value, particularly to those who really, again, cherish those things. It's not something that I pay a lot of attention to, but it is something that does spark a lot of conversation around this time.
Well, we'll watch to see how the market action goes throughout the week with all the different headlines in front of us. With that, Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, it's always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
I really appreciate you having me on again, Jesse.
All right. Coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more at Cenex.com. I'm going to say a dirty S word. Snow. Is there potential in the forecast? We're going to talk about that with DTN meteorologist John Baranek on the way next here on AOA.
Hey, y'all. I'm Blake Shelton. Being from Oklahoma, I know a thing or two about natural disasters. Tornadoes are common where I'm from and have affected my life and the lives of people I care about. No matter where you live, be aware of the dangers in your area and have a plan. You can create an emergency kit, come up with an evacuation plan, and know where to seek shelter. You never know when a disaster may hit. These simple steps can help save a life. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, if you are in the Northern Plains, the Upper Midwest, I'm going to say this, and you may not like me too well, but there is a chance of snow coming up later this week and into the weekend. And that's something that we're going to be really kind of taking a focus into over the next couple of days and watching in the forecast. There's potential for this storm system to have some rain, I think, in other parts of the country as well. So a lot to dissect here with a look at weather on AOA today, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Let's get to the forecast. Joining us now, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. And John, thanks for joining us. And, you know, I think everyone had spring fever here across the country. Well, maybe not so fast in some parts of the country, it sounds like, John.
Yeah, we're getting smacked in the face, and it's not something we wanted to see, I don't think, for a lot of us. I think we wanted to go, let's get into spring, let's get some rain, let's get some thunderstorms through, let's beef up our soil moisture, let's get to planting, right? But yeah, it looks like we're going to have to take a little breather and not get so hyped up. We do have some cold air moving through the eastern half of the country here over the next couple of days. We're seeing some lake effect snow up in the Great Lakes, and you know, we've got some freeze warnings down in the southeast for tomorrow morning too. So we're getting a little shot of it early here, but that's just the first taste of what's to come.
Yeah, let's talk about this because I know that, to your point, kind of east of the Rockies, get some cooler temperatures here off and on parts of the country this week. But looking at a few different systems, it sounds like, working their way through the PNW and parts of Canada and then down into the northern tier here and beyond as we get towards the back half of the week. So what's the latest you're seeing right now in terms of what could be coming our way, John?
Yeah, and boy, Jesse, there's so much going on that, you know, we're probably just going to confuse everybody on the let's listen in. There's just so much going on. It's crazy. But we do have, we've got one clipper that's already moved through and brought us our burst of cold air that's going to be here for today and tomorrow. Then we got another one coming in tomorrow across the Great Lakes, and that's going to bring yet another burst of cooler air down from Canada to the northern tier of the country. And that's really going to set the stage for our first kind of, well, not big storm, but first snow producing storm here. And really on Wednesday night and Thursday, we get this, it's almost like a clipper, but it's not quite, it's good enough for me to just call it one and call that good. But it moves through the northern plains here on Wednesday night and Thursday, really starts getting going along the North Dakota, South Dakota border and into Minnesota. And that continues into Wisconsin and Michigan then for Friday. And, you know, this first little one, it's usually, you know, what we see with these clipper-like systems is usually just a thin band of some heavy snow somewhere. And that looks like it's going to go right through the Dakota border, through Minneapolis and through Wisconsin into central Michigan, where we could see, you know, upwards of 6 inches in that band. It doesn't last very long. It's not going to snow for a long period of time. It just comes down pretty heavy. And you know, to go along with that system, we got another little piece going across the southern tier of the country. Luckily for them, that's all rain. But we do get some showers and possibly into some of these winter wheat areas that kind of missed out on the last couple of big systems. But then after that, we gear up for a really big one, that'll be moving into the west this weekend and then into the plains. And, we're about a week away, so we're still looking at some details here, but it does look like a really big storm system that'll be developing in the Central Plains and then bringing just widespread showers east of there through Iowa, Minnesota, and then back up through the Dakotas and Montana too. And, you know, we're going to be looking at temperatures closely because it's going to be a mix of rain, freezing rain, and heavy snow on this first piece here this weekend. And to go along with the heavy snow, which looks like right now, at least, would be over the Dakotas and northern Minnesota, could have some breezy winds with that too. So we could be talking about a blizzard with this first part of this storm system here over the weekend.
Well, definitely a lot to unpack with that. And you kind of alluded to this, but on the southern end of some of these storm systems where it remains warm enough, and what's some of that rain outlook or even maybe severe weather outlook? We just saw a pretty significant severe weather breakout here mid last week in the eastern Midwest. Any thoughts to maybe seeing some rain or significant thunderstorms with some of this activity that's going to move through, John?
With these first couple of pieces, probably not. I mean, there'll probably be some pockets of some areas that get, you know, a little bit of hail or some breezy winds with them. But these aren't these really big wound up storm systems that love to bring in severe weather. The one this weekend, though, that one would be the one to watch. And it's really hard to say right now because models don't agree with what how this thing's going to develop. But I would say anywhere from Iowa back through central Texas for Saturday and Sunday would have the biggest threats for it. As we go on into next week, though, how this evolves is going to be interesting because the big trough that moves in is not just going to be one solid mass. It's going to be a couple of them spinning around each other. So that does look like it'll produce additional storm systems in the central part of the state or central part of the country and then eastern part of the country for later in the week. And just really how those all develop and move together will kind of determine, one, where that for talking about your question there about where the severe weather goes, but also about any additional snowfall or freezing rain for the rest of next week too. So it's going to be a doozy of about, you know, 5 or 6 days with this trough just pummeling us with storm systems here this weekend and the next week. And then behind that, it's Arctic cold temperatures coming down from Canada. So the northern plains look like they'll get it the worst, especially because they'll have some snow. But we could be talking about, you know, significantly below normal and below freezing temperatures all the way down into Texas later next week. So we'll have to watch that for anybody that's got, you know, wheat up there that's a little early or anybody else who got planting a little early thinking that spring was starting.
Yeah, it's a good thought there. We're going to have to keep our eyes on as spring, you know, if we try to get a jump start, well, hold the phone a little bit here. I think, though, the bright side of this, John, we can talk about this a little bit, is that the ground across much of the U.S. is warm enough to where we get some of this precipitation more likely than not. Once it starts to melt in the case of snow, et cetera, it's probably going to help out soil moisture, and there's plenty of areas that need the help, aren't there, John?
Oh, you're 100% right. You know, because it was so warm, the ground never froze really over the winter, and so it's been able to, unfortunately, dry out a bit, and we don't have a snowpack to kind of add to it here early this spring. So getting this precipitation in here will be good, even if it does come in the form of a blizzard or some heavy snow or some freezing rain. You know, nobody likes to go through that, but the ground's warm. You know, I was looking at soil temperatures last week around here up in my area in Minneapolis, and it was darn near 50 degrees, which is ridiculous for mid-March. So it's plenty warm to just really soak that in once we start getting this to melt off. And it does look like that, you know, talked about that punch of cold air coming in behind, you know, this group of systems. You know, by the time we get into the turn of the month into April, we do have at least an indication that we can warm up enough to melt off a good chunk of this snow and add it to our soil moisture. And yeah, you're right. There's a lot of areas out there that could use it. I don't know of actually an area out there right now that's like, yeah, maybe we don't need it. Maybe some areas in the Southeast are doing all right, but everywhere else would definitely like to see some additional precipitation.
Well, John, we got about a minute here. Quick thoughts on South America. Sounds like almost all the safrinha corn is planted in Brazil. Soybean harvest is ongoing as well. They've gotten a little bit wetter here over the last couple of days in Brazil and Argentina. Any notes for the forecast down south?
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of benign. I mean, things are going the way they kind of need to be for them down there. We get this kind of front to move through Argentina on Wednesday and Thursday, and it kind of clears out behind that. And then it gets up into central Brazil here for this weekend. It kind of stalls there. So, honestly, that's good for the safrinha corn overall. And, you know, we've got plenty of soil moisture down there in Argentina where, you know, a little bit of dry period later this week and weekend isn't too bad. So everything's actually in pretty good shape down there in South America.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's been a little bit back and forth, and we've seen some of these fronts kind of waffle around, but by the way it sounds, it's looking like that safrinha corn's going to get to a point here where it's in the ground, and we're just going to watch to see how things shake out moving forward in terms of the weather there. Well, great thoughts as always. And again, folks can find the latest weather forecast, dtnpf.com. With that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, have a great week. Thanks for joining us on AOA, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Jesse. Everybody brave the cold and snow.
Yes, yes. Make sure you haven't buried your snow shovel in your heavy coats here. It's some parts of the upper Midwest, that is for sure. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to keep the DTN theme going a little bit. Katie Dellinger, Farm Business Editor, is going to join us here on the show. The term no sales has returned a bit to the farmland auction market. We're going to talk about that more coming up next year. Brought to you by Cenex. Learn more at cenex.com. Back with AOA right after the break.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets were mostly higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. April milk up 12 to 1613, May up 6 to 1648, June steady at 1723, July up 2 at 1791. Live cattle markets were mostly higher on the day as boxed beef prices were higher, and that helped to support the markets. Feeder cattle markets also moving up mostly higher as support from the live cattle complex lent support. Now, hog markets were mostly higher again following the cattle complex shadow as midday pork cutout values were also higher, that supporting many of the contracts. April live cattle up $1.32 to $188.57. March feeder cattle up $1.92 to $251.20. May hogs up 25 cents to $93.42. Chicago Board of Trade corn futures were relatively flat on the day. Now, early second corn crop in South America will continue to progress in Brazil with some moisture towards the end of the month. Meanwhile, soybean futures were mostly lower on the day on a lot of consolidation and that South American weather allowing the Brazilian harvest to head to the home stretch. Meanwhile, wheat markets were sharply higher. Attacks against Ukraine export infrastructure helping to support the markets, along with higher MATIF wheat prices. New crop corn steady at 470 and three quarters. New crop beans down 10 and a quarter to 1180 and a half. May wheat up 14 and a quarter.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Alcivia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Alcivia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true, we take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Joining us now for a conversation, farm business editor with DTN, Katie Dellinger is with us. Katie, great to have you back on the show. Hope you're doing well.
Wonderful to be here as always. It's Monday morning and the coffee is hitting just right today.
I was going to say my coffee cup actually needs a refill here, but I'll have to wait until we're done with our conversation for that. But I would agree with you. It's a good start to the week here. And an interesting story that you had just posted here a few days ago on the DTNPF.com website. The term no sales is returning kind of to the farmland auction market. And that's something that I feel like we haven't really seen in quite a while, right, Katie?
Not at all. Over the past 3 years, really since the second half of 2020, the farmland market's been on this upward climb where it seemed like new records were being set every other week at some auction somewhere. And so it's really been an interesting thing for me as I watch and follow the farmland market to see the term no sale pop up, not just once, not twice, but it seems like every week there's an auction that doesn't result in a sale. And I think it's something that indicates a bit of the trend that, you know, it's no longer this up, up, up market. And it shows that some sellers are, you know, maybe have a different perspective of what their land is worth, or maybe they weren't able to sell it last year and that's the target number that they would like. And so there have been a few disappointed sellers on the auction block over the past few months.
You know, I think about I hop in the truck and maybe take a drive around, you know, rural Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, et cetera. And you always see those farmland auction signs, maybe at the front of a field next to the county blacktop or whatnot. And, you know, thinking about how we've seen this market continue to go up, 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 up. Feels like, though, that, you know, maybe seeing more of those signs pop up a couple times over here until we can get a sale, because it just kind of feels like we've hit a plateau here, Katie.
And I think that's where most people who follow the farmland market really land as far as their understanding of what's happening and why. And really, over the past 3 years, we've seen these astounding farm incomes. Farmers have made a lot of money. And before they really started raising interest rates, there was such a rush to buy land before those interest rates went up, unless you were buying in cash and then you just bought it straight out. But with the interest rates, with farm incomes, with, you know, the everything going on in the general market and commodities, there's still, you know, historically, there's not a lot of farmland on the market. You know, over the past 3 years, that was all in favor of higher prices. So auctions became, you know, the sale method of choice, because if you had a farm for sale, you didn't want to just put a price on it if you could put it to auction and get people competitively bidding against each other. So now what we're seeing is, after this big up, up, up rally, the dynamics in the farmland market have changed. We're looking at corn prices that are significantly depressed from where they were just a year or two ago. Same with soybeans. The outlook for farm incomes is at sort of a break-even level, maybe below break-even if you have a high cash rent cost figured in to your farm, if you maybe didn't, you know, with some of your marketing things. So farmers are looking at a much tougher environment. They're looking at that liquidity, that working capital they've built up over the past few seasons. And they're saying, oh, if my farm's not going to make money this year, I might need that to pay my bills. So they're maybe holding back a little bit on, you know, if a farm comes up, maybe they're not bidding as high as they might have, because they're saying, I got to keep some fuel in the tank. I don't know how long this down cycle in agriculture will last. And then with interest rates where they are, it makes it sort of an encumbrance to borrow. And that has put a little bit of a muted element on certain types of investors that really are looking for the best play for their money. There are always investors that just want farmland and it's integral to their portfolio. But for those that are more of the pure play type investors, they're saying, okay, maybe I can get a CD with less risk. But one of the supporting factors is that as this dynamic has changed, any sort of voluntary sales have really ceased. What's coming to the market now is mostly all estates. People who are really doing that generational transfer is what's on the market today. And so that's helped prop up the market because it's kept the supply a little bit low. So a lot of people aren't, or most of the experts I talk to don't see a lot of a significant decline coming in farmland prices, but maybe something softer coming now and through this year for the foreseeable future.
Sure. What about, I guess maybe, is there any distinction between that really high quality ground versus maybe marginal ground? Is that something that's we're watching as well in terms of just where this farmland market is currently? Because I think about, you know, some recent sales in Iowa, of course. I mean, Northwest Iowa was getting, mm-hmm. you know, close to 30,000 an acre. So, I mean,
yeah.
Talk to me about that a little bit here, Katie.
Well, I think that high quality ground is always in demand, especially in areas where land does not come up for sale very often, like Sioux County, Iowa, that northwestern county, where we saw the sale of, I think it was $29,600. It was like $400 shy of a state record. And so it's like, okay, we're seeing all these no sales in the farmland auction market, and then we're seeing a few massive numbers come out. And what I've had in talking with realtors and brokers out there, one of the things they pointed out is that you have to always remember that real estate is a local market. And in some of those areas like Sioux County, Iowa, land just does not come to the auction block or for public sale very often. And when it's a desirable piece of ground, like that one that almost set a record, it had a CSR2 rating of like 99.1. So just about the best farmland you can get in an area that's got lots of access to manure. So it's a great growing region, lots of benefits there. There's lots of reasons why people would want that land. But it's sort of moving to a place where this could be sort of a township by township based on how many sales there are in that small neighborhood, in that region. If there have been a lot of sales or a lot of opportunity to buy, the land values may not go for as high. But if it's in an area that's exclusive and very tightly held, when the chance comes up, there'll still be a lot of people that are jumping on it. If you're sitting there looking at that 40 across the street your whole life and it finally comes up for sale, there are a lot of farmers that will still jump on that, even if the economics say maybe it shouldn't go for the price it is. It might pull something significant. You never quite know. It's very localized to the regions.
I wonder, Katie, as you were talking with experts and putting this story together, I mean, thinking about, you know, the auction market and some of the traditional methods we've seen, could we see some different types of sales methods come back into the farmland market here as we move forward, if things kind of keep plateauing and mellow out a little bit? What are you hearing?
That's absolutely what I'm hearing. I had a great conversation with Doug Hensley. He's the president of real estate services with Hertz Farm Management. And what he said was that they're starting to see more interest in like sealed bid sales where, you know, they maybe get a couple of people that they know would be interested in buying and ask them to write their best offer on a piece of paper. No one else gets to see it. So they get sort of these independent valuations of farmland and then can pick the buyer they want from that. I think we'll see more of that. I think we'll see more private treaty sales where it's, you know, maybe they don't put a for sale sign up, maybe they do. Because to really have a successful auction, it takes two or more bidders. You can have a very successful land sale with only one interested buyer, as long as you guys can negotiate a price that's agreeable to both parties. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a shift in the sales method. Oh, maybe away from auctions to more sealed bid private treaties and other formats of sales. Since, you know, this sort of uptrend in market seems to have stalled out, like you said, mellowed out, I think is a great word for it. I think that's going to change the way farms are brought to market, at least in the near term.
On the flip side of that, if I am looking to sell farmland right now, do I have to be concerned maybe? What are you hearing in terms of, do I have to be worried about leaving money on the table per se? What's that outlook look like if I'm someone who is looking to sell land here in the year ahead?
Well, I think they get the benefit of the run-up we've had of the past 3 years. I mean, in general, farmland prices are 20% or more higher than they were. So you're still going to get a better value than if you had sold pre-2020. So keeping that in mind is always a good perspective. It might be down a little bit from some of the peaks from the past few years, but you always have to keep that land as a long-term investment, and that, or think about where you bought it or inherited at, what that basis value was, and think about the gain you get over that time. So I think there's still the pool of buyers for farmland is still out there. It's still pretty deep. There are lots of people, investors as well, that are interested in buying, that it is, like I said, a key part of their portfolio. A lot of those are members of your local community, the doctors, the chiropractors, the bankers, people who grew up in a rural area and see the value of that investment. So the chances are you're still going to get a strong price historically. It maybe won't be what you could have gotten 2 years ago at public auction. Now, if farm incomes continue to have a couple of tough years, that might further erode farmers' ability to buy. And farmers buy about 70 to 75% of all land that's sold, or at least all farmland that's sold. So if farmers start seeing more weakness in their balance sheets, that might cause some trouble down the road for them being able to keep up buying farmland at today's prices.
Well, folks can read the full story from Katie online at dtnpf.com. And we always appreciate a conversation. DTN Farm Business Editor Katie Dellinger, thanks for joining us here today on AOA. Katie, we'll get you back on the show again soon.
Always a pleasure to be here. Anytime, Jesse.
All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Not all grease created equal. Cenex Premium Grease is made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll take a look at news headlines from around agriculture on the way right after the break.
Are you getting notices in the mail from the IRS? Don't ignore those, as it'll only get worse. Open the notice and call Tax Alliance today. Why? Years of being A-plus rated with the BBB and no consumer complaints sets us apart. Call 800-309-3416. That's 800-309-3416. Here's what customers are saying.
Tax Alliance knows what they're doing to navigate dealing with the IRS. I was very pleased with the outcome. Thank you, Tax Alliance. I can sleep again.
Tax Alliance did an amazing job with helping me to resolve my tax issue. I'd recommend this business to anyone who's in need of tax resolution.
If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes, are getting notices from the IRS, have unfiled tax returns, have hired another company and are not happy, or have a payment plan and are getting nowhere, call 800-309-3416. That's 800-309-3416 for a free consultation.
Tax Alliance, your tax resolution solution.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Well, now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Hair Volume is the all-natural solution trusted by millions of women around the world to say goodbye to thin, brittle, shedding hair. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com. Go to NewNordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens or CVS.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tracy Lawrence for the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream. I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. When the temperature goes down, so can your equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel is built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Learn more online at Cenex.com. Well, another revenue source to keep farmers farming is getting a boost from the USDA. Undersecretary Robert Bonney says the new funds will help conserve farmlands and wetlands.
$138 million goes into our agricultural conservation easement program. And this will support about 138 individual easements across the country.
And continue a strategy by Secretary Tom Vilsack to use the Inflation Reduction Act and other funding sources to keep farmers farming.
We know from the nature of the demand for EQIP and CSP and the Regional Conservation Partnership Program and even the easement program, there's significant demand above and beyond the resources that even under the IRA.
Undersecretary Bonney told USDA Radio that prime farmland is increasingly getting lost to development. He sees ASAP as an antidote.
So this is a program that helps keep those family farms and families by purchasing the development rights.
And then there are wetlands.
These are either grasslands or a lot of times forest lands. We're restoring the wetland features on those.
And Bonnie says those can continue as farms, ranches, and forest lands as ASAP easements protect wildlife habitat, water quality, and private land ownership. Well, the Economic Research Service says the number of U.S. wheat farms has dropped substantially over time since 2002. The total number of wheat farms fell by over 40% from 169,528 in 2002 to 97,014 in 2022. In addition to the decline in wheat farms, wheat production is down slightly but has been variable year to year. The ERS says annual wheat production ranged from about 1.6 billion bushels in marketing year 2002-2003 to as much as 2.5 billion bushels in 2008-2009. However, wheat production didn't exceed 2 billion bushels from 2017 through 2023. The ERS says the reduction in the number of farms reporting wheat harvested area occurred across all wheat classes. The number of farms producing durum wheat saw the largest percentage drop, down nearly 60% from the 2002 census and 30% from the 2017 census. Only five states saw increases in the number of wheat farms. Well, the Fertilizer Institute thanks the U.S. Senate for introducing bipartisan legislation to include phosphate and potash on the final list of critical minerals of the Department of the Interior. TFI says the legislation will recognize the importance of ensuring a strong and sustainable domestic fertilizer supply for American farmers. TFI President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch says, quote, the majority of the world's phosphate and potash resources are concentrated in only a few countries, leaving them open to supply chain vulnerabilities and geopolitical instability. The events of the last few years have shown us that food security is national security, and now is the time to change how we talk about these vital resources, end quote. The U.S. imports about 95% of its potash needs, the bulk of which comes from Canada. Only 14 countries in the world produce potash. And Rosenbusch added, quote, this will help us take significant strides towards securing our food supply, end quote. Well, in 2024, U.S. beef exports are expected to be about 83% lower than those in 2023. The drop is due to lower beef production this year, brought on by tightening cattle supplies and tougher global competition from beef exporting countries like Australia. Pork exports are forecast to increase by almost 4.6% from 2023 due to higher domestic production and less global competition from the European Union. Broiler exports this year are expected to decline about 1.4% compared to last year due to higher domestic prices and weak demand from China. And turkey is expected to be competitively priced in 2024, with exports forecast to be up 6.4% compared to last year. Also compared with 2023, dairy exports on a skim solids milk equivalent basis should increase slightly this year by 0.2%. Relatively strong domestic demand for dairy products and limited growth in milk production will likely limit export growth. And also here today on AOA, before we wrap things up, two new varieties have been released from the Kansas State University Wheat Breeding Program and are being licensed by Kansas Wheat Alliance Seed Associates for farmers to plant this fall. Well, Hard Red Winter Wheat KS Bill Snyder, named after the legendary former K-State football coach, will be available in limited supply this fall. The variety was developed with funding from Kansas wheat farmers and donors to the Kansas Wheat Commission Research Foundation. Coach Snyder was honored at a luncheon in Manhattan last Thursday. Coach Snyder harkened back to when he was first hired at Kansas State in 1989 and one of his first trips out in the state.
You know, Western Kansas is where I first, you know, became attached to Kansas farmers, and every one of them had a wheat field. And I was impressed by the individuals, by the type of people that they were. I was raised in St. Joseph, Missouri, and so more of a metro-type lifestyle. And to get to know and become and befriend, you know, so many people in the farming communities in Western Kansas and the state of Kansas was really amazing to me, somewhat overwhelming, to be honest with you, and just the type of people that I greatly appreciated.
Aaron Harries, Vice President of Research and Operations with Kansas Wheat, says KS Bill Snyder is a solid wheat variety.
It's got a good disease resistance package. It's got high yield potential. It's adaptable to basically the western half of the state. I-135, I think, is the line. We'll see what happens. And it's really good milling and baking quality, which is an emphasis from Kansas wheat. You know, to maintain our good market for hard red winter wheat, those wheats have to be appealing to the millers and bakers and not just high yielding. So, and Coach Snyder is a quality guy, so the wheat that's associated with his name needs to be a quality wheat.
And Coach Snyder talked about how he drove by the agricultural plots every day on his drive from home and work during his two times as head football coach at Kansas State University.
And when you think about something like that, you have to think about the people behind it. And that has always given me such great respect for the commission and the people that work in this building and those farmers all over the world, you know, that raise that product.
Well, the KS Bill Snyder wheat variety was developed at the K-State Agricultural Research Center in Kays and was led by Dr. Gurong Zhang and his team. The other wheat variety that's been introduced is KS Mako out of K-State's Manhattan breeding program. Well, that's going to do it for AOA here today, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Not all grease created equal. Learn more about their Cenex premium greases at Cenex.com. Have a good one. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar.